Hello.
And welcome to Band Together, a six-part series exploring how different music teachers foster positive classroom cultures in their band room. In this series, I interview six band teachers and discuss their general views on positive culture and what strategies they use to implement it. In this fifth episode, I'm talking with Matt Abraham and Shannon Little, two music educators co-teaching at a large urban high school. Both of them have thought a lot about the culture of their band room. They come out of the gate swinging with concepts like belonging and student empathy. As you hear them describe their space and strategies, it's immediately evident that the positive culture they're trying to foster is intentional and on purpose. But, as we've heard in our previous conversations, that's not to say that it doesn't require management, which we'll hear all about coming up. Because this interview is with two people instead of one, like previous episodes, it's split into two parts. Many elements of our talk feel conversational and, at times, diverge from the question. I've decided to leave these parts in because, sometimes, the winding trail of conversation provides important context to what we're talking about, even if it seems to go in a different direction. Also, it's prudent to say that, while sending out the preparatory material for the interviews, I made a mistake with Shannon's email address and didn't catch it until it was almost too late. Instead, Steve Little received an interesting bundle of culture research prep, and Shannon had to go into the interview cold. Don't worry, both her and Matt do exceptionally well and were a joy to speak with. Here's our conversation. Matt Abraham and Shannon Little are senior instrumental music teachers at Vincent Massey Collegiate in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. Matt and Shannon, thanks so much for being here.
Hi, Kenley.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Mm-hmm. So let's just jump right in. So when we're talking about culture, what does that look like to you in the band room? Matt, why don't you start this one?
I feel like culture is whatever is normal. So whatever behaviors or thoughts or actions, and anything that you kind of normalize in the band room or what people end up doing without thinking about it, that becomes the culture. So it's whatever people feel comfortable doing either in their own head or externally with other people. I think that becomes the culture in the room and in the program.
Absolutely. Shannon, can you add to that?
I think when I started thinking about it, I thought about what culture provides. And so I was thinking about safety. And so it provides a safe space to be in a learning environment that they feel that they can take risks and that they're going to be supported and, you know, they have respect mutual and from the whole group. And so those are some of the things I started thinking about with culture.
Yeah. So you're both talking about students and what students have and what they make in the space, it sounds like.
Yeah, I would say that.
So for students, what would they experience in an ideal day in your band room culture? Shannon, let's start her off.
Sure. I was thinking that they would have the ability to learn like in a supportive environment. Like I may have referenced that already. So yeah, the ability to make mistakes, take risks without like a major fear factor, just knowing that your peers are going to support you and encourage you, and place that allows you to kind of freely learn.
Mm-hmm. Matt?
I would hope that they would experience a sense of community. So, mm-hmm. you know, a place of belonging, like literally a place to be, because we teach in a high school of like 1,300 kids. Mm-hmm. So actually having a place to go and, as Shannon says, you know, feel safe and feel supported and feel appreciated for who you are, and, you know, whatever masks or walls you put up outside of the room, you know, they can come down because you feel safe and secure and you know people are going to look after you. Connections to one another and positive relationships have a lot to do with it. You know, if you've got a thriving band room community, then those positive connections, you know, you see them all the time. You see them in the way kids interact with each other. You see them across grades. You see them in the way kids interact with you. And then the idea of fostering a sense of empathy. Because if you get the culture going, yeah, I know you've got that word written down
yeah.
too. It's important. It's an important word. But I think the value of knowing another person and feeling listened to and being able to listen to someone else and knowing someone on that deeper level and developing that sense of empathy is really important. And I think I would hope that the kids experience that mm-hmm. as a function of the culture in the room, and joy and gratitude. You know, those things are important.
Yeah, and especially in an ensemble, in a large ensemble, where there are so many moving parts and
if we're talking about connecting with the music, there really is a sense of self-connection as well, like connecting with your own feelings, connecting with the feelings of others, like empathy, you're both talking about, and feeling, Shannon, what you said, like safe in the community where you can make a mistake, you can, like musically, socially, anything like that, where you can experiment with sound, with tone, with color, with like all these musical things where we're kind of dealing with this pendulum of like the social part of the band room and the musical part of the band room. Like both of these things are so important to both parts.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think one can actually exist to its fullest capacity without the other. You know, I don't think you can go into a situation and make the best possible art, you know, or not even the best possible, but the most meaningful without having that sense of trust and that sense of vulnerability and that sense of connection to the people that you're around. I think that actually enables the art to come to the fore. And then vice versa, you know, if you're not there because you're passionate about the same stuff and you're not there to, you know, reach those peak artistic experiences, then it makes it very hard to connect to each other because the passion is what's uniting you, and that's why you're all there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So for both of you, is the culture of the band room, positive or negative, something that you think about on a regular basis?
Absolutely. Yeah. It has to be. It has to be intentional, because if you're not careful with it and you're not thinking about it and you're not, you know, going through in your own mind how you want things to go and how you want it to be and what you want the experience for the kids to be and that positive culture, you run the risk of doing things that might actually run counterintuitively to that without even realizing it. You know, I think it has to be intentional.
No, I was going to say, like, you're trying to create like a culture, right? That, like Matt has been saying, a lot of the things I've been thinking too, but you want them to know that you care about them. And then that's kind of the first step, right? It's like it's caring about the people and valuing the people. And then in turn, they, like you were said something about that their ability to listen and then also to be listened to, right? And that's kind of the sort of like to be loved and to love, like the basic human needs, right? And music lends itself very well to that focus.
I would also say that like the culture in the band room is an organic process, and it's absolutely a living thing, so it mm-hmm. can fluctuate, right?
Yeah.
So if you're not really intentional in building those positive relationships and that gratitude and the empathy, if you're not really intentional about it, then you might not notice when things start to zag when they should be zigging. And I think keeping track of that is also really important, because we deal with high school kids and you know, each day is different, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's all sorts of stuff going on that I can't even begin to understand because I'm not 16. So, you know, staying in tune and in touch with that over the course of a year, over the course of 2 years, over the course of, you know, a teaching career is actually, I think, really important.
You need your own awareness about it. And you're also trying to keep them aware of each other and themselves. And even, I mean, like everybody has off days and that those kinds of things, but you're sort of always guiding it, I mean, to a culture that you think is really healthy, to a healthy place. And sometimes they lead you places you didn't know, that you were going to go.
What are some student indicators that you have that culture is positive?
You see like engagement, you see people that are like wanting to be there and inquisitive and supporting one another. And I just think of these little moments, you see the kids like celebrate each other, and it can be so many different things. And it's just that those are my favorite, when different people are being celebrated for just little improvements. And it has to do with like that creating awareness of each other and I don't know. It's just nice. The little foot shuffles, and you build it in. And especially I've noticed such big change in our youngest students. Like in the last month or so, they've really, really grown, the grade nines. I've noticed like, wow, the culture is really feeling good in here now. And it just took a while to get to where that was. So yeah, just a lot of everyone's engaged. They're all, not all the time, but people are engaged and they're celebrating one another and they're looking for the next steps and they're feeling like, hey, like, what if we tried this thing? Or what if, you know, they're valuing their experience and they're valuing one another's contribution to that experience?
Mm-hmm. In some of the other interviews, we've talked about kind of the culture in our own schools or different fixes from other departments. And for the music people, they say, like, when things aren't going as I expect, when we're not performing as high, when engagement's struggling, the first place I look is is the culture of the room, like what's happening in the room. And I wonder if, say, like math teachers are thinking about that with math scores or like the English provincial exam, if maybe, so, well, sometimes the problem might be academic, sometimes it might not be. And like, how can we use the environment that we're setting up as a container to facilitate all the academic growth, not all, a lot of the academic growth, to get kids engaged and working? Because all the things that you're talking about have a direct response musically. When kids are empathetic, when they're supported, when they're in a good community, when they're supporting each other, I love how you said that, when they're like celebrating one another, they all play better. It becomes this like exponential effect,
absolutely.
Right?
It's like we're all building each other up. Like it's
exactly. Exactly. Matt, do you want to jump in on this?
Yeah, I think you can tell a lot about the culture, both positive and less positive, in the way that students respond and engage with themselves and each other. You can pick up on the tone of conversations. You can pick up on, like when you're, like Shannon says, celebrating each other in class, like you can pick up on what kind of vernacular kids are using and how they're interacting with each other and also how they're interacting with themselves. You know, if they're in a healthy place, they're going to be coming at it from a growth mindset perspective, and they're going to be thinking about the work, and they're going to be thinking about the effort, and they're going to be thinking about, you know, their next steps. And that's just going to be a part of their daily routine, as opposed to, you know, oh, I can't do this. And I'm, you know, I'm trash. I'm useless. I'm not able to do, I'll never be able to do it. I'm not as good as so-and-so. Those indicators are, I think, really important. And I also see a lot of, like in our room, I know things are going really, really well when kids are willing to jump in and help out. When we ask for volunteers to go and set up the Optimist Festival, and like 20 hands go up on a day off, you know, like it's Louis Riel Day. Who wants to come and set up percussion gear for, you know, 6 hours? I do. You know, the servant leadership piece, you know, when they're willing to give back and engage in that way, you know, that's also a, to me, it indicates that they're feeling good about it, and they want to be more involved, and they want to engage with the community. And so that comes out in a whole bunch of different ways.
Yeah. The culture can really give kids a place to be, not a place where they are, but a place to pursue and to want to be. I want to jump back to something you said earlier, Matt, about I can't, I won't. And it seems like those might be some student indicators that the culture is negative. Can either of you speak to that?
Those words to me suggest like a hopelessness,
okay.
You know, like I can't or I won't. That suggests to me that you're stuck.
Right.
And perhaps not, I mean, maybe not intentionally thinking this, but maybe not willing to, you know, seek out a solution or to work on it or to engage someone's help where they might be able to help you out. Like it's a very fixed mindset thing, right? Like it's very like, oh, well, I guess we're done. Oh, you know, wash my hands of this. That's done. And I feel like that's a way for kids to disengage, right? When they say, I can't, it's an easy way to, I don't know, take some of the pressure off maybe. Like, oh, I guess I just can't do this.
Right.
And I'll just own that and move on. But I think that most of the time, I would say all the time, that's not actually the reality. You know, when was the last time that you heard a kid say, I can't blank, 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 but blank, and then it was actually true? You know, I don't think that's ever come up, you know, that's just not how it works. It's always a, and I mean, we hear this all the time, but it's always, you know, a not quite yet or a, this has to happen first type of thing, but it's not that they can't, it's just that they aren't yet, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think that's important. And I think that kids that are really connected to a positive culture of learning and a positive experience are going to be less likely to want to pull away and go, well, I can't. Sorry.
Yeah.
Nope. You know?
I always wonder, like, what's motivating it, right? Like, what is it? Fear? Is it, like, you're not prepared? Did you not totally understand the question? Like, what do you think is going to happen so that, like, because like Matt says, it is a disengagement, right? It's like, I'm out, like, you know, so sometimes I might scale it back. Like, okay, well, can you do this? And then they do that usually. And then it's like, oh, yeah, you did that. Now try this. Oh, you actually can do it. Great. And so it's always nice for them to see that they can, like, they might even fail a couple times, right? And then it's like, okay, now you got it. So it's always nice for them to see, like, oh, I can survive it and I can do something. Even if they can't do the full thing, it depends what you're asking them for. But it's like, you can do something. You can contribute something. Like, you always have something to give. And also, we're ready to receive it. Like, we're proud of you, whatever you can kind of contribute. And then it seems like if somebody just disengages like that, I don't think either one of us would just be like, okay, well, then don't, you know, I think we'd say, okay, well, how can we, you know, how can we negotiate something to where you are doing something so that you're part of the group, you know?
Right.
So
it makes me think of the question where students have maybe a more individualistic role in the classroom, like an academic class or shops or tech ed or something, where their contribution is maybe less team-based. So would there be a point where a kid might like be in a negative culture and succeed anyway? Like I think about sports, like where you have a toxic sports team, mm-hmm. and it's so hard to succeed against that. But if you have a really tough English class or a really tough shops class, do you still thrive in spite of that? And it's something I've been thinking about a lot this week. What do you think?
I think like a less healthy culture is toxic to relationships. Mm-hmm. So I think any time that there's an aspect, and I mean, looking at myself, I would have no idea as to the sports team analogy. Not a single clue. But I do think that in an environment where it's arts based, right, mm-hmm. and the goal is, first of all, the goal is collaborative in nature, mm-hmm. right, and it's collaborative, and we're coming together to create something,
yes,
or to engage with beauty or the mm-hmm. aesthetic or mm-hmm. or, you know, the philosophy behind what we do. I think in those areas, I think having a healthy culture is absolutely critical, because you have to be willing to take risks in order to do that. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to be vulnerable both to yourself, yes, and to others around you. And I don't know if that sense of vulnerability and that sense of collaboration is necessarily the same in, as you say, like an English class. I mean, I wouldn't know, I don't teach English, mm-hmm. but I think there is something in an arts class where the goal is coming together, working towards creating something beautiful. I mm-hmm. think that amplifies the importance of culture.
Mm-hmm.
You're asking people like the vulnerable piece. It's like we're telling a story together, but it's also like you're personally telling your own story. Like there's a real deep sense of yourself is going into this collaborative effort. So it's not just a cerebral thing that we're asking of people. I mean, people love math too, so maybe it's different there. But yeah, like Matt says, not teaching those different subject areas, I wouldn't necessarily know exactly. But I totally get your wonderings there. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't have an answer, but it's something I think about.
Yeah.
Okay. So it sounds like we have a lot of things to say about how the culture is positive, and we even touched on how it's negative, but do either of you have anything to add?
Some of the indicators that I was thinking about, it's really just a lack of some of those things that we've talked about in terms of the positive. So what does a lack of support look like? It's just, it would be disrespectful. It wouldn't be, it's kind of like every man for himself a little bit.
So to speak,
yeah.
When you have like a culture that's a little bit less healthy or less thriving, I hear a lot of silence, mm-hmm. and I see a lot of people digging in, isolating themselves, right? And again, that's a measure of them trying to stay safe. This isn't just in a band room, right? Like you can see it in a an office or in a corporate environment or in a whole school type of thing, when people start to separate themselves and just try and stay safe and, you know,
shut down
and dig themselves in and just try and be safe and stay secure.
Yeah.
Because there isn't that trust that you're going to be looked after, and there isn't that environment that makes you feel safe. And as soon as that starts to happen, then you notice that musically as well. Like if we go back to the example of a band room, right? Like you notice people that aren't listening to each other, either musically mm-hmm. or otherwise, right? You notice, as Shannon said, like the lack of certain things, the lack of engagement, the lack of positivity, the lack of conversation, the lack of, and you get a real sense of apathy because people are trying very, very hard to be alone instead of together. And I think that...
So they're like surviving.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
not thriving. It's
exactly.
just, okay, I'm going to get through this. I'm just going to survive this.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe a time where the culture was represented in your actions? Matt, why don't you start this one?
I like to think that this would be most of the time, both for better and for worse, you know, because students are always watching you. And even if they won't come out and say it, you know, they're watching you and their interpretation of their behavior and what's acceptable and what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong, you know, the way that we choose to be in the room, that's all coming from you, whether you're thinking about it or not, right? Which is the dangerous part because you know, we all make mistakes and we all do silly things, and it can take a while to repair that. I try to be the person that I really, really want the students to be. Mm-hmm. I try to be that person as often as I possibly can, on and off the podium, you know, yeah. Full stop, period. Does it mean I'm always successful? No, because we, you know, we're human. But I try to make sure that my actions always represent what it is that I really want them to be learning and absorbing.
Mm-hmm. Janin.
I think it's so valuable, like, the fact that you say, you know, do I always get there? No. And sometimes it's good to note that with the kids too, like, hey, you know what? Yesterday, that was not my best day, or like certain aspects, right? And they realize, oh, okay, it's okay to screw up and that kind of thing. I would kind of echo those thoughts, like, I just am trying to be my best self every day. And can I bring, you know, how can I bring my best self to this situation? And sometimes if you're noticing certain things in your culture that aren't, like, you're like isolating a couple things, like, okay, this is not going exactly how I want it to be, then you might model something really specific, right? Like really specifically noticing something, you know, or really emphasizing the gratitude piece or something more than you would regularly if you're trying to sort of encourage that behavior. Because like Matt says, like, you are putting out your values and what you want them to believe. You're kind of putting that out there. And sometimes it's not your best, right? It's like, okay, yeah, that wasn't, I actually am impacting that in this certain way. So that's where it's so valuable to be thinking about it all the time and just reflecting on, like, what did I actually put out there when I thought I was doing this, or, you know, those kinds of things.
Well, yeah, because sometimes you think you're doing one thing, but in actuality, you're doing another. And it reminds me of this time when I was teaching at Maples, and it was my first year of teaching. So, you know, those poor kids, they did great. and I gave them an article. They were in like grade 9 or 10, about the importance of like second and third parts. It was like a one pager. And it started out with those second and third trumpets aren't important anyway. You know, and then they go through the article to disprove the point. Yeah. You know, it's a provocative opening line.
Yeah.
And that's all the kids got.
Oh, no.
And like I was the opposite of the thing that I was trying to do. And some of them obviously got to the end like, okay, I'm important. And some of them couldn't get past the first line. They read the whole article and it was as though every part of that text was the first line repeated.
They just had shut down after the first.
That's it. You know, you think you're being so progressive, and then it's the opposite. I don't know.
That's when you use the baseball analogy for them. You know, on a baseball team, you can't all be playing first base, right? So if everybody's on first base, like first parts, then you're not fielding a team. So
someone's going to have to play left field.
Yeah. Somebody's going to have to be on second and third base. Like, they're really, it's all important. It's just you're playing a different function on the team.
One thing that strikes me in our talk is how often they both bring up students connecting with one another, even if the questions are teacher-focused. Matt speaks about the community and kids connecting with one another, like the grade 12s coming in and hanging out with the grade 9 band class, and using that as a vehicle for mentorship. Consequently, that connection is an important means of bringing the artistic vision to the forefront. The performance is improved by improving community. Shannon shares the importance of caring about the students and valuing the people in front of us. And compounding that, I'm struck by how elegant that is, because she's not only doing it, she's modeling how to do it to the students. In a race to the top, dog-eat-dog world, or one of accumulating personal value by likes and retweets, she's modeling to the students what it looks like to value all of the human beings in the room. She's showing them what it looks like and how to do it every day. I was also struck by Matt's comment about observing students who isolate themselves and how it's a behavior that reflects a lack of safety in the room or a business or an institution. How many adults are looking around at their job to see if the other adults are okay? I wonder if the world could use more of that. Here's part two.
Can you describe a time where the students' actions or behaviors reflected that the culture was healthy?
I again kind of think to my grade 9 students, because I feel like they really have developed a culture that, like Matt was saying, it changes, right? But I feel like generally it's very positive right now. So what I see that's really positive is a lot of the things we've talked about. But for instance, if like we're working with one section or one person, everybody is listening and allowing this person to go through whatever they need to go through. So it's like, okay, the trumpets need to go through this articulation thing right now. How can we help with this? Or like, and they're offering feedback and encouragement, like, that was better that time. Or yeah, why don't you try it this way? Or here's a thought I have, like from the tenor sax, you know? And it's like, and also the trumpets are now at a place where they're like, I'm just using them as an example. Mm-hmm. Like they can receive that information and not feel like, oh, that's an attack. They realize, oh, this is like legitimate help and support from my peers. I'm being encouraged. I'm valued, you know, these kinds of things. And where just earlier in the year, because I was new to them and the whole situation was new. I don't think it was like that. It was a little bit more like Matt was expressing some of the way they isolate or not listening to one another. Just, you know, playing, or like some people play like too loud, say for instance, and they're not paying attention to what's going on. Some people are hiding, right? There's just these different things that are just not, are sort of showing you like, well, this is not a community. This is not like a shared experience right now. This is kind of we're in the same room, but we're maybe not aware of each other.
Yeah.
And anyways, I don't know if that totally answers the question, but.
Well, definitely. And especially how the student commentary piece and the student support piece can, you know, be flipped on its head in a negative culture where all those student supportive comments are toxic and are viewed in a different way. Even if they're, you know, said in a kind way, they are interpreted and heard as criticism. And so you've built the opposite of that, that it's supportive, right? That like we're all on the same team.
You help guide them there, right? And it's like, right. And both sides, like how to give feedback and how to receive it, like you're saying, I think, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Matt?
I think a lot about the, like as you're talking about the student support and how it's interpreted, you know.
Yeah.
I think about student mentorship and student leadership, mm-hmm. and seeing things like the grade 12 students coming and hanging out in the grade 9 band class because they've got a spare first thing in the morning and they just want to hang with the grade 9s. And so they're coming in and they're giving of themselves, right, to the community. And then the grade 9s are in a place where they can receive that and not feel threatened and feel comfortable and be like, oh, this is so cool. Like, look, mm-hmm. the grade 12s are here hanging out because they really want to, they just want to play with us and they like music too. And this is awesome. And they're tall, but they're not scary, you know, like that type of thing. I went to Viscount like a couple weeks ago to do a, hey, how are you doing? Nice to meet you. My name is Mr. Abraham. I teach at the high school. Register for band, you know, that kind of thing. And invited some students along, you know, kids that were in grade 11 and just wanted to come. And so they would be the grade 12s when these new grade 9s are coming in. They were so excited to do it. And they were so on fire for it. And like, oh my gosh, yes, we want to go. And they were so awesome with the kids. You know, you're watching like a grade 11 clarinet player hanging out with and showing fingerings to a little grade 8, you know, clarinet player that's right there. And they're all hanging together and talking and getting each other's names and, you know, that kind of thing. When I see that happening organically and naturally, then it's, that to me is a real indicator that things are going in the right direction. And I think it's really important to mention, like you made the comment about like building the culture in the program. I think there has been a long lineage of people at like in this program that have worked very, very, very hard to develop that culture. I mean, Jackie and Bill, and before both of them, Eileen, right? Mm-hmm. Like that culture is something that luckily, you know, Shannon and I were able to kind of step into something that things were like the values that we find are really important. And philosophically, we're in the same place as the people that taught there before us. So it's kind of neat. Like we're stepping into a program, and it felt, at least from my point of view, I don't know about you, Shannon, but it felt like a very natural transition. It was just mm-hmm. like, oh, this is perfect. They, you know, the beliefs are what I believe, and so now we just need to make sure that, you know, we're intentional in keeping this going and flourishing. And I think that's a great place to be.
Absolutely. So how about student indicators when the culture is negative?
So when I first started teaching, I thought what I really wanted more than anything else in the world was a stone silent classroom. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, for sure. You know, these kids are going to listen and it's going to be all about, you know, it's going to be respectful and there's not going to be any chatter and this is, we're going to get work done, darn it. You know, it was that kind of thing. And again, coming like from a professional musical background, like that's what rehearsals were like, right? So I was like, this is what we're going to have in high school and it's going to be awesome. And that's what I had. And it wasn't good because people were like, I don't think it was fear, but I think people were just not willing to open up and engage, mm-hmm. right? Because I was rehearsing more than I was teaching, first of all, mm-hmm. which wasn't, you know, and again, that's not really what you want to do, but that's where I was in my first year of teaching and second and third and on and on and on. But really, I got what it was that I thought I wanted to realize that that's not at all what I wanted. And it ended up being really unhealthy. Like, it's not that they didn't like it. They enjoyed it and they were having fun and everything was great, but it wasn't that thriving, healthy, positive culture the way that I would define it now. You know, it wasn't that.
Yeah. How about you, Shannon?
Well, as Matt's talking about this, I'm just thinking about previous experiences. And in a past job, when I came into the building as a new person there, the culture wasn't really established in a certain way that it was established, but it was really far from what I felt was healthy. And, mm-hmm. and that was for a number of reasons, just a variety of different teachers. Mm-hmm. And so like when I got there, I didn't know what to expect at all. Right. And it's like, you start seeing like behavior is communication. So it's like you're asking yourself, what does this behavior communicate? Like what's happening in the minds and hearts of these students that they're behaving in such a way? Like I remember one class, the first class I had with these kids, it was like grade eights, and I had it like all set up and I'm like ready, like let's rehearse, let's get started. And nobody would sit down. Like literally they were just walk in and they're like kind of running through the room and just being like just kind of out of control. But that's just, they didn't know who I was, so they had like no trust, and they didn't have a consistent person before that, so they had sort of no idea for what to expect. And then it just took a long time. Like it was like even when they would play, they wouldn't believe. Like I realized after some time it was that they really didn't have the skills, and they knew they didn't have the skills. So then because of sort of an embarrassment, they decide, well, we're going to behave in such a way that we can't get to the place where we demonstrate our skills that we don't have. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that was a culture that I had to like work through for quite some time. And I realized like, it just took me some time to understand what those negative behaviors, what was the motivation behind them. And then how do you get to a place that you get these students to trust you and to trust themselves? And like it took a year. There was one student who wouldn't believe me that A natural was second position on trombone, even if I showed the chart. Like this kid was just like, it's not. Like he just wouldn't believe me. So, but by the next year he did, like, you know, and he was like, oh, okay. So it just like, it was this really, I know that's kind of a tangent and you can kind of edit that out, but it's just, sometimes you just don't, like, you just have to go in there and then you kind of figure it out, like, organically. You're like, okay, this behavior is not what I want and it's not healthy. I can see this, but mm-hmm. there were a number of different things. Like I had to do some things I didn't expect to get some of the culture going. Mm-hmm. So, which I didn't have to do in this job. It just different. It just depends.
But you came at it intentionally and strategically. You didn't just throw your arms up and say, well, that's just how it is.
No. I was kind of thinking, what do they need from me in order to get them into what do they need? What can I provide them with that's going to, get us to this place where, like, when we go back to what we're talking about, like, safety, how, mm-hmm. when, and that took a while, like, to get to that place of, mm-hmm. okay, I can make a mistake here, or, you know, they're just these different.
So what did you do?
Well, I had some students who just really, especially there was this weird, trumpet thing where I had a class of grade nines and over half the class played trumpet, and there was only one girl in the class. So whatever that, I mean, it was an interesting mix mm-hmm. of students. And so I had to like prove myself to some of these trumpet players. So this, I wouldn't necessarily suggest, but I had to like do these weird things where I had to prove that I could play the trumpet. And then that somehow shifted the mindset. So like I would do these weird things, like even if I knew they were changing classes by the band room, I would just do some sort of crazy trumpet playing just to like show them, because then they thought, okay, maybe she's worth listening to. And that took me a while to figure that out, because I was like, why won't they just sort of listen to me and believe me, and you know, I'm being really nice and these kinds of things. But and then so once they started asking me questions about the trumpet, then I knew I had won over a couple, and I knew these were the leaders in the class, right? So it was like, okay, so if I can win over these couple trumpet students, then maybe I can get the rest of the class on my side. So that was one thing. But yeah, it's just like, it's, you got to like connect with each kid. What else do they care about? Oh, you play hockey. Okay. Well, maybe I go to a hockey game or like ask you about, you know, just invest in the kids, and then they know, okay, we can trust you and show up every day. Right. And just keep being there and keep caring and be enthusiastic, make up for what you don't understand in enthusiasm and caring. And it'll take you, you know, in those beginning stages, that'll take you pretty far, showing up and caring. And
it's true. And I love how the students needed to know that the pilot could fly the plane, you know?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit like that with a couple of them. Mm-hmm. I think some were like, okay, we'll follow you. But yeah, absolutely. That's what they needed to know. So
I'm just thinking back to some of my high school experience where, you know, the teachers showed up, but maybe they weren't so enthusiastic and caring. And I mean, like showing up isn't that hard, but putting all pieces together takes intention and strategy. You know, like you are intentionally caring. I mean, like you're a pretty caring person in general, but you know, I'm sure you crank the amps to 11 some days.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's mix it up a little bit here. So what are some less regular or long-term activities that maintain a positive program culture? So things like trips or camps. Matt, do you want to start this one off?
I think it's important to make the distinction that the culture, like I said, is whatever's normal, right? So it's a day-to-day thing. And I think that's the most important part of it. You know, every single day, every single moment that you can, you're being really intentional about those relationships and that positivity and the gratitude and the joy and the empathy and all those things. But there are lots of opportunities for those qualities to flourish, right? So when you talk about a trip, I think about like our Camp Arness trip where the kids end up loading, you know, three full sets of concert band percussion gear onto a giant truck, and everybody's got like a sandbag line coming off the trucks with sleeping bags and suitcases flying everywhere. You know, it's like it's 200 kids organizing themselves, you know, to be behind the truck and offload it as quickly as possible. And I forget what it was last year. I feel like we got it done in under half an hour.
Oh,
like
it was stupid fast. It was awesome.
It was stupid fast. And the kids kind of, like, you can see that they kind of take it on themselves to do that. And
they really
value that, you know, like that's a cornerstone of the culture that they actually really identify with. They're like, yeah, let's get this done. Everybody lends a hand. And, you know, you've got grade 12s tossing suitcases down to grade 9s or, you know, and it's really awesome. And on that whole adventure, we take the kids for 3 days out to Camp Arness, and the whole program goes. And we eat every meal together.
Yeah.
And we all gather in the wigwam for like an evening concert, you know, so everyone's all together and everybody has the opportunity to socialize and come together and start and build that community across the grade levels, you know, people that they wouldn't normally have the opportunity to interact with. So I think that's an opportunity for the culture to flourish. That and being on a bus for 16 hours, like when we go someplace like Banff. You learn a lot about yourself when you're on a bus for 16 hours, and you learn a lot about other people when you're on a bus for 16 hours.
Yeah. Truth.
It's as only, you know, a band director will tell you, when there are kids at the back of the bus practicing their, you know, their percussion parts for this one piece that they're not feeling so great about yet, you know, and everyone's around them helping them out and giving them the feedback and saying, yeah, you know what, that was great. And that sounded exactly like my trumpet part. And that's going to be really helpful. And, you know, they're all at the back of the bus having a little mini rehearsal at, you know, 1 a.m.
Yeah.
It's a perfect time to practice.
We just passed Brandon and away we go.
Good,
you know,
like that's good time. Good,
making great time. We nailed that third movement and we're good, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Shannon, do you want to pick one up?
I mean, the Camp Arnest trip is a huge one, like Matt was saying, and it's early in the year, like it's in the fall, and the kids come back different, like than when they left, and it's like, okay, you really can feel that community, especially with the students who weren't at the school before, like they've just come to our school, grade mm-hmm. nines and tens. So that's really neat. And just some of the things, like Matt's already said it, but just even kids have already been to camp, so they know like where certain things are. And so sometimes you'll see like a grade 11 say like, oh, you're supposed to go over here. Like, you know, just seeing them help each other out and inviting each other to get to know one another. Mm-hmm. Or you see them, yeah, like somebody's sitting over by themselves at the table. That's going to happen for like 10 seconds, right? And yeah. somebody, you know, they're just calling them in. Why don't you come play Dutch Blitz or whatever, right? Like it's all these different, just these opportunities for them to connect in a way that's like less structured and that kind of thing. And yeah, the bus ride is always like a great uniter. And I just, when you were saying that, I was just thinking of the grade nines again. Sorry, just they're in my mind a lot right now. But going to the Optimist Festival with the, you know, the drumming, they're like one spokesperson, the Barry Sax player, was like, all right, everybody, okay, we're going to start Creed now, like to sing it. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's happening? She's like, and so she just got the whole bus singing Creed. And it was like just this really, yeah, it was, we decided we were definitely a band and not a choir. But it was really cute to see how excited they were to do this thing together. You know, yeah. It's like, okay, this is really cool. Like, you're just so excited to go and create something together. And yeah, it's nice to see them be proud of their efforts and you know, what they've accomplished together. So yeah, let's.
How lucky are we, you know?
I know, we are, yes. Yes, we're very lucky.
I also think that anytime you've got an opportunity for like a mentorship opportunity.
Yeah.
Right. So anytime you've got older students mentoring younger students, anytime you've got students going into a feeder school and mentoring them, you know, mm-hmm. anytime you've got that opportunity to build in that mentorship and that student leadership, you know, student run sectionals, that type of thing. I think that that does a lot. That does a lot to build those relationships in the kids.
And yeah, you referenced it earlier, like, you know, some grade 12s, oh, we have a spare when the grade 9s have band. Well, let's go play. Like, you see that stuff happen. And sometimes you have to get the ball rolling on that. But it's mm-hmm. really cool when they just come in. Can I come play today with the grade 10s? Absolutely. Like, come on down. You know, you're a grade 12 going into music next year. And yeah, it's great for them to mm-hmm. you know, to just hang out and work with each other. We even had this year a student from a former student come and hang out with us like for a week, and she was running sectionals and playing in the ensemble and helping people, like, hey, let's check what kind of reed are you using and have you done that, you know, just all these little things.
Wonderful.
And yeah, you could see the kids were very, felt like, oh wow, this person is really, you know, taking time with me. And it was just a really cool thing to see. And even she would like get involved in our group discussions about, sometimes it is about culture and that, those kinds of things. Like, what are we, you know, what's this about? And what, you know, and she would be answering, you know, I know I don't go to school here anymore, but here's some thoughts I have. And mm-hmm. I found that was really valuable. She spent a lot of time with the grade 10s, and that was really a cool thing.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's been part one of my conversation with Shannon Little and Matt Abraham. We've spoken a lot about building community across all grade levels, whether it's packing up the entire program to go to band camp or having some grade 11s and 12s come and sit with the grade 9 band. It's a theme that came up over and over again. It's a means of connecting kids, simultaneously giving them a team to belong to, while also providing leadership and mentorship opportunities for others. The room is a place for everyone to belong. What kinds of things do you do in your program to foster community? It could be in your class or in your entire program. Thank you so much for listening. For more information, you can head down to bandtogetherpodcast.com or my own personal website at kenleychristofferson.com, and the spelling's in the show notes. Don't you even worry about it. Follow me on Twitter at kenley_k or on Facebook at facebook.com/kenley. Thanks again to Matt and Shannon, and I can't wait for you to hear part two of this conversation. It's a great one. The intro and outro music is my piece, The Meeting Place, performed by the Arizona State University Wind Ensemble and conducted by Dr. Jason Kasler. The break music is the second movement of my Icelandic folk song suite, performed by the Winnipeg Wind Ensemble under the direction of Jackie Dawson. Also, both Matt and Shannon played on that recording. Let me tell you, connections everywhere. I'm Kenley Christofferson. Until next time.